The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of Kevin Jordan or his guests. These gardening tips and suggestions may work for you, as well as those from alternative sources. When using any garden products or tools, read and follow all label directions.
The Green Acres Garden Podcast is the podcast dedicated to helping gardeners hone their growing skills while we celebrate our love of plants. So whether you're new to growing or a seasoned gardener, you're sure to learn something new. Join the fun as we have conversations with world-class growers, passionate green thumbs, and professional garden experts from Green Acres Nursery and Supply. Listen every week. We'll answer questions you didn't know you had. Welcome, everybody, to the show. This is the Green Acres Garden Podcast, the world's number one gardening podcast.
That's right.
Oh, wait. Okay, maybe not. Definitely in the top 1,000. But you know what? We got something to shoot for. You know, a gardener can dream, can't he? Welcome to the show, everybody. So glad you could tune in and make it. We have a doozy for you. We're celebrating on multiple fronts this week. Back in studio, on audio, though, I got to introduce Austin Blank, the ace of audio himself. How's it going there, Austin?
Hello, Kevin. I am doing great, but I think not as great as you. What just happened in your life, Kevin?
So we just welcomed in our two twins, my wife and I, to the world. We've been talking about it a little bit. And so as of recording now, they just came into this world. They're doing really well. My wife's doing well. And we're so stoked. And so I'm just incredibly thankful and happy. And so anybody out there, sending any good vibes, I really appreciate it. I cannot wait. I was just in the garden last week with our firstborn son and just having the best time.
Yeah.
And so just thinking about kind of, increasing the size of my garden crew.
You're going to get two more garden buddies.
Yeah. And so I just can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. It's just, man, it just tastes so sweet.
Well,
man,
congratulations to you and your family. I'm so excited for you and so happy. I've been waiting for this to happen for a while now.
Yeah,
and
cool.
I'm just so psyched that everything went great. And I've been saying you're three times the dad that you once
yeah,
were.
Yeah, we multiplied. Went from one child to three overnight. Pretty stoked, really excited. I could not be more thrilled and so thankful. So yeah. I just, to the crew out there at the hospital, you know who you are. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It was pretty incredible to see all these talented scientists, healthcare, folks. It's just really impressive. And if anything, it just gets me more fired up for gardening and growing. I got the call. I was actually at school working with some students. We had just planted some sun gold tomatoes.
Okay.
Got some bell peppers that we had. These are we started from some seed way back in January, and now got those seedlings in the ground. Which kind of leads us into today's topic.
Well, just we're also celebrating the season just changed.
Absolutely. So, just as exciting as those children being born. No. Actually, this is something that we can all enjoy. It is finally springtime. It's sprung. We just passed the vernal equinox. Hey, Vern! Shout out, Jim Varney. Love that guy.
Real quick, that means that that day had 12 hours of light and 12 hours of night.
In our hemisphere right now.
In our hemisphere.
So that's the equinox. It's equal day. But you know what? It's only for a short term. It's, now we're getting longer and longer. Each day we pass, the days get a little bit longer, a little bit warmer. The soil's warming up as well. And you'll notice a lot of your seedlings, like your tomatoes especially, all these warm season plants that we always love to drool over, they're really going to respond to those increasing soil temperatures. Even the day length and can be effective on certain plants. It's a really cool time in the garden. A lot of transitions going on. We're pulling out cabbage. Our peas are thriving still, but certain things are starting to come out and grow. Our carrots are starting to really just fire off. Our beets look so good. The garlic is ripping it. And so there's a lot to do. Actually, I'm kind of like, I don't know, how am I going to do this? Because I got these twins here and some gardening to do. But you know what?
You'll find a way.
Life finds a way. Yeah. If Jurassic Park taught me anything, it's that, dinosaurs are a little bit dangerous sometimes.
Sure.
And life,
hey,
life will find a way.
I got a spring break coming up. I'd love to help you out if I could.
Dude, come on by.
I'll come out to the
garden. We'll figure it out. Yeah. And so we'll make it work. I've got a great crew at the school with the students and the staff there. They've been super supportive.
Nice.
But with that said, I really love to just dive into the topic. The weather, just the days. I've been gardening on my own at home, planted some roses back this winter, and they're finally getting their first blooms. Got them hooked to some drip irrigation, and I've been adding mulch like wild everywhere, thick, thick layers of mulch. So I'm just suppressing those weeds. So for me, I've been trying to get out ahead of the storm. But for all of us who maybe are flipping over their gardens at home, they've got their own things to do. And so we've got, I think, the guest to really nail this, hammer this nail home, so to speak. We're bringing on our producer, Greg Gayton. We're actually going to discuss all things spring, the things to do, what's blooming, what's not blooming, the things that are going to struggle as the heat comes on, and the things that are actually going to not just struggle, but really thrive and take off as that temperature rises, as that Mother Nature turns that dial. Some plants really shine. And so we are going to talk about all those plants that look good from the ground up. We're going to cover ground covers, annuals, perennials, and beyond. So there's a lot of ground to cover.
Well,
so
let's bring the man in. Mr. Greg Gayton, welcome. You're coming to us via Zoom. How are you doing today, Greg?
I am doing great. I was just at the nursery having a blast talking to customers and just seeing all the new deliveries coming in. It's fun. It's that time of year. I never tire of it because it's just like going to Disneyland right now at the nursery.
I was going to ask, like, what's the energy level right now at your nursery right now?
Well, are you asking about the employees or are you asking about
the customers?
Well, the employees are really having a great time because we're constantly busy and customers are really, really happy. We're at that stage now where everybody's got a smile on their face. It's just fun to see customers looking at new plants because new plants are always introduced every year. You know, we were talking about African daisies. There's so many new varieties of African daisy. And you see those people and you watch their faces and you see that smile or that, oh, wow, you know, moment. And so that's the excitement. It never gets tiring to watch that. You know, it's like kids on Christmas Day opening up their packages. That's what's like in the nursery right now.
I can feel it. I'm one of those kids right now. I was actually just kind of geeking out. You brought up African daisies, osteospermums, as it were. My neighbor has some around his front landscape, kind of bordering his lawn and out there. It's so gorgeous. There's some whites, pinks, purples, magenta that he has. And right now, you can't even see the leaves on them. They are just packed full of flower buds and blossoms. And so it's really impressive to see. I was actually going to take a picture. I'll send you guys.
I'd love to, because every picture I've seen of those flowers, they're so vivid, so vibrant with color.
And they're rugged. They've been around. They do that every spring for him. Cool. And I mean, he's a great gardener himself, but they look great. And so they're really, I mean, that's a rugged plant. But I was going to talk to you, Greg. We were talking earlier about, we just mentioned it's vernal equinox, the spring equinox. Our day length just passed, 12 hours of sunlight. 12 hours of nighttime. So that means for us, what, longer days, more light, increased warmth? What does that mean for you as far as the plants in the nursery and how things are changing?
Well, that means that plants that need or want more light are transitioning to the nursery. Like, for example, your annuals. You know, we went from pansies and calendula and snapdragons and all this winter color, cyclamen, and now we're going into plants that really like the heat and the longer days. Marigolds, cosmos, calabracoa, petunias, just all these things that just feel like, you know, if the plant were a human, they'd have sunglasses.
What are some of the ones that you're most excited that, like, are back now? You know, they're back in the stores, and are people gravitating to some of these new plants?
Oh yeah, you know, like marigolds and vinca, begonias, cosmos, for shady areas like snapdragons. So these are plants that really require more light, more daylight hours, and they're just thriving. And you know, with this warmer weather we've been having, the tables are packed, and you know, the staff is having a hard time keeping the tables restocked because everybody's all excited about that. And you know, it's that transition in time, so it gets people excited to see, wow, you know, we saw all the pansies and all that, now we're seeing summer color, and everybody's, you know, it just changes everybody's mood.
Well, what are your thoughts on zinnias for the summer season here?
Oh, zinnias are great, and they bring in such great beneficial insects and pollinators. And so they usually come out a little bit later in the summertime when it's a lot warmer. So we'll probably see those in another month or so.
That's why I was getting curious. Yeah, that's how you know when it's really warm. You start seeing some zinnias out. You go, okay, time to get get the old shade out.
That's like a sign to you that the something's different.
They love it. And what's really cool is up near here we have the Apple Hill, and I've seen some farms up there that you know they open to the public, and you know they have different attractions, and they have a whole just swath of you know waist high zinnias planted, and just every color you could imagine, and they're just so tall. And kind of striking, and they have shorter varieties as well. So it's kind of cool when people experiment with those, because whether it's in a container, on a border, or in these ones, you know, kind of a whole massive area being planted, they're super striking, and they are just one of the shummer showstoppers, buddy.
Shummer showstopper. Oh, yeah. You're wearing a flower in your ear right now, too.
Dude, I got it. I said I came here. I was kind of floating on air. I was almost going to preface it like, Austin, have you ever been so happy that, you know, and just keep going and be like, I don't know, maybe. And then that's how I felt. So I'm so excited. Yeah. I just can't hide it.
And you look different. You've come in just with a glow about you.
Well, I'm just so I'm just happy. Yeah. They're doing well.
Even though I'm sure you're tired too.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah. Thanks for being here,
for sure.
Greg, what about for you? Like, what do you think of as Kevin was saying, zinnia? Is there like to you like an iconic springtime or like a springtime flower? What do you think of?
Well, you know, we were talking about zinnias and. You know, I like to watch people's reaction. I like to actually talk about different trends. And, you know, the big thing now is cut flowers. And so zinnias, you know, we plant them because they were beautiful in the garden. They brought in pollinators. But it's amazing now to see all these people coming in going, I want a cut flower garden.
That's cool.
And so zinnias are that. You know, now we're starting to get in cut flowers into the nursery, like larkspur. We're getting, you know, carnations and dianthus and flowers that people can use inside. People are using like calla lilies now and planting a lot of them, and they're blooming their heads off right now. So they're, you know, that's a big, big, big market now as customers will really gravitate to multiple purposes for the plants that they plant, you know, and cut flowers is really big right now.
Yeah, it's fun to be able to, if you're going somewhere, visiting a friend or a family member, just be able to like, oh, okay, we're leaving. And then you walk out to your landscape, take a few snips, and then you just bring it with you. And then that's like, you know, that and a loaf of bread or a bottle of wine, and you're the best guest ever.
Yeah.
You know, I love it. I love that idea. Like I said, I've got the rose garden going, so maybe I'll have to throw some zinnias out there in the front as well.
And larkspur, what's going on with that one, Greg? You mentioned larkspur.
Larkspur, and there's just all kinds of different things. People are planting like bachelor buttons. You know, people just love to see difference in the nursery. They're visiting the seed racks and are seeing, besides the bachelor buttons, like a yellowish white sunflower. You know, it's, and that's great, a great cut flower. It's just all these new things. People like to experiment. It was just like earlier when you were talking to Brad Gates about tomatoes. You know, he said, try different varieties and you'll get hooked on it. It's the same thing with flowers. You know, people used to just plant like, okay, this summer I'm going to plant impatiens and begonias and that's it. Now there's so many different things. You know, we're learning and bringing in new flowers into the garden. So, you know, the sky's the limit as far as what you want to do and get excited about.
I really like that. You brought up Brad's point. He said he recommended try 20% early or try 20% different. You know, make sure you plant the things that you want to grow, but leave that little room for experimentation. So I think that's a great point, Greg, to bring that back up, because that's where we get to really have fun, right? And try new things and evolve as gardeners, right?
You get those little happy little accidents or whatever, things that you, hey, I didn't expect that plant to be so delicious or so beautiful.
Right.
Or some things just tend to grow just better wherever you're at, or can tolerate some of the stresses that maybe other plants in your landscape can't.
And you
can't.
Wouldn't know unless you tried something new, right?
Absolutely. You know, and that leads me to another plant that is fun to experiment with, lavender. How are the lavenders doing this year? And are there any like new interesting varieties? So I've noticed that's one of the plants that there's always kind of like a plethora, if you will, of choices, of options for just lavender alone. There's always so many cool varieties. What's your favorite right now, Greg?
You know, that's the thing. Lavenders now, there's different seasons on lavenders. So the first ones that come out are the Spanish lavenders, which are usually has darker purple flowers that are more for cut flowers. Eventually, we transition into like the English lavender and the French lavenders. Lavenders are sort of cool because everybody likes, they're beautiful, but they kick in different varieties throughout the season. And so a lot of people will go, gee, I'm just going to the nursery in the springtime just to get some new flowers. But all these perennials keep releasing new varieties throughout the season. I wish I could tell you all the varieties of lavender that are going to come in, but there are so many different varieties. And, you know, I take all the photos for our magazines and our website. And every time I turn around, I get whiplash because, oh, shoot, I didn't take that one. You know, there's dwarf thumbelinas, there's different types of English. There's actually even varieties that are a combination of English and French varieties. So, you know, the lavenders will make your head spin. You know, just keep watching and coming into the nursery and seeing all the new varieties that do arrive.
I totally agree because ours are beautiful at the school right now. We have the Spanish lavender, the autoquast, and they are just, this last week, they just finally started popping in like a wave of purple. They are just opening up, and then you notice instantly the bees come in, and they're all about them. It's like one of the first ones for the season. And so, yeah, they're exciting. And they take, for me, they're one of the most low-effort plants that we have in the landscape for the square footage that they can take up and grow. The amount of time put in is pretty minimal. The return on investment is so good with those.
Greg, I love how part of your job is looking at and taking photos of plants. I feel like that probably contributes a lot to how vast your knowledge base is on plants. Do you think that like that's helped you stay sharp with plants over all this time?
Oh my God, I love that part about it. You know, and you get to see the different seasons and the different times that the plants come in. You know, we'll be seeing like tickweed coming in pretty soon, the coreopsis, and then we'll start seeing the salvia start to come in. We'll start to see, you know, it's like every week there's something new that arrives at the nursery. Like people will go, hey, is your lipstick salvia in? No, but we've got these 10 varieties. Or has your lantana came in? And what variety are you looking for? And then you find out there's like two new varieties this year, or there's three more trailing types. So that's the exciting part about it. When somebody says, I want the expert on perennials, well, it's a humbling area because basically every year there's something new out there. Mm.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, hey, Greg, is your favorite salvia, Salvia gregii?
There's a Greg
or is it
salvia?
Clevelandii? Or there, I think there is a gregii, right? Isn't there a gregii?
There is a Salvia gregii.
Is it named after you?
No, yeah.
It should be.
What a cool name.
I am old enough, it probably is, but the Salvia gregii is really great because it's a very drought tolerant, easy to grow plant that you cut back every so often.
I finally cut back. I have the hot lips in my front yard, right near my Spanish lavender. And that red and white really pop with that purple. But they were still in bloom from last year on their old growth. And I finally was like, you know what? And it was never cold enough to really put them into dormancy full on. But finally, things were getting so warm. I was like, I gotta cut them back. They're like 5 feet across, you know, and four feet tall. Cut them down to, a little nub, foot and a half, 2 feet tall, foot and a half crossed. And they are already growing back and getting ready to bloom again. And so it's that time of year. Salvia is really cool. Greg, I wonder if you've ever noticed this, that in plants, like one of the best ways to actually show like a genetic connection to a plant isn't the way the leaf looks, because there's a lot of plants that have leaves that look really similar, but they have no genetic relationship, or at least no close genetic relationship. But then you look at plants, it's their flowers is what botanists will look at. And it's that flower shape, it's the flower morphology and structure. And what's really cool with salvia is, even though there's, 800, 900 different cultivated varieties out there and probably more, all their flowers look very similar in their structure, different colors, different sizes, different everything else. But the way the flower actually is structured always looks the same. So it's kind of cool when you can find that flower and go, oh, this is a salvia. You can just look at it just by the shape of it. And so I just love that. I just geek out.
Well, the hot lips always speaks out to me. I always see that when I walk by it. It kind of grabs my attention.
Pull like one or two blossoms off and kind of like zoom in on them and just look at them. And then you find another variety and you'll notice, the shape of the blossom and the way it's structured is kind of similar. Sure. Yeah. And so it's just cool. It's just fun to geek out on flowers.
Well, I'm trying to practice my plant ID. I'm practicing as much as I can. And people are asking me now what plants are. And I'm like, guys, I'll try, but I might have to ask Kevin or Greg because
we're always learning.
You guys are my pros in the back pocket.
I think plant ID when it comes to gardening and growing is at first it seems like I'll never learn that or that. Who knows? How
There's
do you
so
ever?
Many.
But it's also, I think, it's flipped that it's one of the easiest skills to learn in plants, but it just takes time and exposure because there's no trick to it. It's just, Like Greg said, you got look at the plants. You know, read their labels. You can just walk. You can look at a book or walk the aisles. But just doing, I think, is you'd be shocked at how quick you're pointing out ranunculus and all these names and these plants, and it happens pretty quickly.
Well, I would love to link to in this episode description some of Greg's work. Greg, you take a lot of beautiful photos of all these different plants and put together what do you call it? It's a not a brochure, but a catalog. So I'll go ahead and link to that so people can explore some more of the great beautiful plants that are available.
Did you
now.
See that you and I made the last catalog?
No,
we were in the spring catalog. My wife showed
what
me.
What were we doing?
We got with this big one mailed to our house, big multi-page layout. We were on the back just smiling, holding flat plants and had a little, it was cool.
I love it.
A little thing, say, hey, check out the podcast.
Nice.
I liked it. Yeah, I was pleased. But Greg, so can we dip in? I want to ask you, ground covers, what are some of like right now, it's getting warm, but it's not scorchingly hot, like we're probably going to get at some point. But what are some ground covers that have kind of caught your eye this time of year?
Well, there's a lot of great ground covers out there, and a lot of them are very drought tolerant. And this is the time to plant them before it gets too hot. One of them is Diamondia, which is a very, very low growing silver leafed ground cover with yellow flowers. Low growing like a mat. It looks like a carpet. It's great. Plant it within, the salvias that you just talked about, because they're perfect as far as watering requirements go. They're blooming throughout different times of the year. It's a great cover, chokes out a lot of the weeds. Myoporum, which is a great drought tolerant ground cover.
That's a rugged plant.
Yes, very rugged, very drought tolerant. It can take a little bit of traffic. So if you've got like a golden retriever like me, or have a little baby out there that tramples on a little bit, they can tolerate a little bit about that.
Good to know.
Yeah, there's ornamental strawberries that are great for shade areas. There's baby tears or glaucoma or. Gosh, there's just a lot of different ground covers available now. And now is the time to plant them because you can work your soil really well. You can add amendments and you're getting them to acclimate before it gets too hot.
Awesome. I love that. As we were preparing, you mentioned something about how the vines are looking. Are there any vines that have also caught your eye? I love growing vertically. I think for smaller spaces, especially. Utilizing that vertical space is kind of fun, and vines are a great way to kind of take advantage of that. What are some easy to grow but beautiful vines that are looking good right now?
Okay, well, there's always pink jasmine, which comes out with like a pink bud and then opens up to a very fragrant white flower. There's Carolina jasmine, which has a yellow flower to it.
I saw those. They were looking really good. They were bright, bright yellow.
And this is the time of the year, if you really want to see what the color is, because a lot of vines only bloom late winter or early spring. And that's why I like to diversify your planting palette, because, don't realize that some things will be blooming now and then some things will be blooming later. So it's like a choir, you know, you've got the one section's blooming now, and then if you plant different plants, you're going to have color throughout the season. Like later on, you can have honeysuckle, or you can plant plants around it that are going to be blooming at different times as well. But there's a lot of vines out there. Wisteria is out there that's starting to bloom now. Pretty soon, clematis will be coming out and bloom later on when it gets a little bit warmer. There's star jasmine that will be blooming later on in the summertime. This is the time. You know, there's going to be potato vine coming out. There's bower vine. There's all different kinds. And one thing that people forget about are like the climbing roses, like the iceberg climbers, which bloom throughout the season. They're going to be out available soon. Or there's a white and there's a burgundy. There are eating climbing roses. So don't forget about the roses as well. And they're really low maintenance. A lot of people think roses are really high maintenance, but they're not. Just get the head shears out there and a glass of wine, and you can know where to cut. And
there we go.
It's great.
There we go.
Shears and wine. What could go wrong? I like it.
Hey, safety first,
yes,
everybody.
Yes, for sure. Read and follow all instructions. So, Greg, to boil it all down, what is your message for gardeners right now in the spring who are hoping to kind of add some color to their landscapes?
You know, people will come in and they'll plant like all African daisies, and that's all they'll plant. And then they stop blooming, and then they get really disappointed. And I always like to let people know that, hey, you know, you love that African daisy, but why don't you plant something like a Biden's or a Coreopsis and different things that keep blooming throughout the season? So you have a color palette and you have continual bloom. I think that's really important for people to realize that. And I've trained a lot of customers that, you know, oh, we want the color. And they come in the nursery and they go, ooh, ah. And I usually tell them, okay, that's great. It's going to be blooming every year about this time to this time. Why don't you add a little bit more color so you get different color throughout the season? And they come back and they're going, thank you. That really, you know, so I look forward now to African daisy blooming in March and April. And then I look forward to my Coreopsis blooming in the summertime. And Greg, can you show me a Coreopsis with a different color so it'll even match that? And so people keep adding to it. And you just get this huge palette of beauty that goes throughout the year. And, you know, it makes people happy. And it really, really makes me happy when people come back and have taken my advice. And then, you know, they get their phone out and they're flipping through their photos and showing me, wow, you know, I really liked your suggestion of this and this and this. And then, you know, I tried this and now I have color throughout the year. And now I'm doing cut flowers. And now I'm, you know, I'm noticing more hummingbirds in my yard. And I'm noticing that I'm sitting out in my yard now more. You know, I'm having a glass of wine out there. I'm really enjoying my yard a lot more by what all this diversity that I've added to my garden.
Wow. That's why you're the best, Greg.
Oh yeah.
You're spreading that garden joy, and people are picking up on it. And then I love how they come back and share it with you. That is so cool.
I get texts all day long from people who are showing me their yard and their garden and their new perennials or something they've even found, even at another nursery. It's just fun because people get into it. And, you know, what's really fun is to get somebody who doesn't know hardly anything about perennials. And then next thing you know, it's like they've gone through Green Acres 1A and they come back and they've seen the light. They plant more and more, and they realize that their value of their life is a lot better because they're spending more time outside. They're enjoying their yards more, and it's taking the stress off of them.
Beautiful. I got to thank you myself. I was just putting plants into the set design of the play I just had at my school, and I hit you up, Greg, and you helped me find the perfect plants for it. So that was something I don't know if I ever would have done before, but I, you know, filled the stage with live plants. It was so fun. Thank you for that, Greg.
I saw it. It looked incredible.
That's something that I love most about my job. I'll be, you know, four decades going into it, and it gets better each year. And it gets better because we get all these new things, and people teach us. We all learn. It's a great community, and that's why I like working at a nursery.
There we go. That sums it up quite well. Just want to thank you, Greg, for coming on. We love having you on. I love working with you. I always look to you for some garden knowledge and wisdom, and you've never disappoint. And so I just want to say we appreciate you. I'm looking forward to more garden adventures with you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Greg.
Well, I couldn't work with a better team. I mean, you both make it fun. I would love to hear what people would like to have on future shows. You know, there's so many possibilities to talk about in the future.
There we go. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Greg Gaydon, the garden guru himself.
Woo! Thank you, Greg. And Greg just made a call for, you know, if anybody wants to add ideas or topics or guests that they might want on the show, hit us up. We've got our Green Acres Garden Podcast Facebook group on Facebook, and you can join there and chat with us directly.
Suggestions are welcome.
Yeah. Big thank you, Greg, for everything you do. And Kevin, that's all the time we have this week. Go ahead and take us out.
Well, another banger of an episode. Loved it. Greg he's just awesome. And I'm fired up for my own garden, and I'm really excited to kind of hearing from him, getting excited, hearing from other people about their own gardens and things. I love that. And it fires me up. And that's the whole point of this. And so my vernal equinox wish is that hopefully we can just increase our ability to help as many people get excited about growing and hopefully be more successful in their gardening and endeavors. So I love it. This is going to be a fantastic spring and summer. Let's all fire off on all cylinders. Until then, garden friends, I got to get back to the hospital, go check on the twins and the beautiful wife. Thank you all for being here. We truly appreciate it. Share us with a friend if you could, and come back for more. And always remember, garden for joy, cultivate love, grow for life. Keep on gardening, never stop learning, and we'll see you next time, garden friends. Happy gardening to you all, and please never stop growing.